30 miles west of Milwaukee sits the city of Oconomowoc. It falls within a lake and stream-rich 83,000-acre Oconomowoc River watershed, which falls within the massive Rock River Basin.
Stretches of the system are subject to an abundance of phosphorus, too much of it, which leads to algal bloom and loss of aquatic life.
People in Oconomowoc are working to do their part to reduce the pollutant. A collection of partners, from conservationists to lake associations, have teamed up to create the Oconomowoc Watershed Protection Program.
Lake Effect Susan Bentz met with several of the driving forces behind it, including farmers and Tom Steinbach. He manages the city of Oconomowoc's wastewater treatment facility and is leading the watershed initiative. Steinbach began by explaining the heart of the phosphorus reduction program, a technique called adaptive management.
Okay, adaptive management is a program that the state offers municipalities and permitted entities. Doesn't have to be a municipality, but anybody that has a wastewater treatment facility, can be a private industry, a large cheese manufacturer, for instance, could be utilizing that program, can opt for that. And basically what it is instead of meeting those limits that are being imposed through your permit by just doing things at the treatment plant, we're now able to work in the entire watershed and apply some of those dollars that we would have applied to brick and mortar to actual best management practices and help entities in the watershed to implement those practices.
Practices such as?
In a real simple sense, buffer strips, grassed waterways, contour farming, looking at helping farmers with cover crop programs. There's a wide gamut of practices. If you look at the land use within the watershed, we have just under half of that that's ag related. And not only applies to ag, this also applies to urban runoff. We've got other municipalities that are within our vicinity that we're also working with to try to help them drill down into urban runoff problems.
But is that part of the adaptive management?
Yes, it is. From ag land or whether it's coming from urban construction sites within municipalities, we're interested in.
To the farmer, him or herself, does this make the work that they do easier or a little more challenging?
My name is John Kepke, and I am a collaborator in the Farmers for Lake Country group and a dairy producer in Oconomowoc. Easier or challenging question is always a difficult one, but I guess my underlying point to all of this would be is usually in the past when we have done more conservation-related activities, they haven't necessarily been costs. They've usually paid dividends. An example would be with fertilizer management. If I do a better job of managing the amount of fertilizer I need on my fields, I can get better yields of the crop. I might be able to reduce my expenses. So more revenues, less expense, and better for the environment. That's a three-way win there. That's a very good thing. And then there are more passive ways that this might be good for agriculture and the community too. It's important for the farmers and non-farm public to communicate back and forth and understand what actually happens on the land. Because a lot of people that live in the watershed are pretty removed from agriculture, where their food comes from, or even science and biology in general. Even though we live amongst it, there isn't a whole lot of knowledge base there that gets used all the time. And so this is an opportunity to teach. It's an opportunity to learn from the farmer's perspective what the concerns of a new urban neighbor might be. And it's kind of a chance to help us coexist. Probably the best benefit that some of these programs can bring is a sense of future to the farmer. For me to make a long-term conservation investment, I need to have a future in the neighborhood. That's important. If you're thinking of being gone in a year or two, nobody much cares about what the long-term happens to the long-term resource. But I think you'll find a lot of the landowners might be second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth generation landowners in the watershed. They've been there a long time. There's a deep-seated concern and care for the environment and the neighborhood. And those two are entwined pretty closely together. And so I think it's important that then city folks get an idea of what the country people might be thinking too, in that, you know, if we can coexist, if I know I have a future and you have a clean watershed, then we're, everyone's better off.
Bill is in the town of Concord. Bill is one of our first project sites, actually. We're really happy to have Bill around because he's been a real proponent of our project from the beginning. The fact that he's the town chair is a big plus for us because he's a good cheerleader out there. So,
well, thank you, Tom. You know, the thing is, when Tom asked me many, about a year ago or so,
a couple years ago,
he asked if the town of Concord would be involved because basically the town of Concord is downstream from their waste treatment plant. And knowing that in the end results down in the town of Concord, if the DNR could find that there was an improvement on the quality of the water throughout our township, then Oconomowoc would not have to put in another filtration system that would be costly, and maybe the farmers could do their part and maintain the quality of the water without having an expense for the city of Oconomowoc. And so I says, hey, I'm on board with that. So what do we have to do? Well, we had a couple of meetings out there in my town hall and got some farmers interested in it. And, you know, everybody's reluctant to do any kind of things with the government. Sometimes the farmers just have been turned off by any kind of bureaucracy and don't want to get involved. So by me kind of stepping forward and saying, well, let's see what they have to say, and they offered me the opportunity to, I have a piece of land that may affect the Oconomowoc River. And I said, sure, let's go through this process and let the people know that it's not a scary thing. We're not going to take your firstborn child or anything like that, you know. They're willing to help you with any side of offset costs, and let's do it. So when I listened to John and his stories about cover crops and stuff, all of a sudden I became excited about being a good steward to the land. I mean, a lot of our economics and farming is, you know, grow the crop the best you can, not to hurt the soil or fertility, but do the best you can and make as much money as you possibly can off that acre of land. I mean, we build up the land, but, you know, we use the commercial fertilizers and that kind of stuff to maintain the fertility. But with the cover crop idea, and now that I'm into it, it just seems like we're going to be putting more organic matter back into the ground. We're making this ground fertile. If we put this buffer strip around the outside edges of our field, we're going to stop potentially some runoff into the Oconomowoc River. We're becoming better stewards. We're becoming aware of the fact that hey, let's not just worry about, you know, making that extra dollar. Let's make sure that we have quality land and helping the future generations, you know. And it just made me more of a steward of the land, and I'm excited about it now. And my first year of cover crop, even if I didn't get paid for it, I think I'd keep on going with cover crop. I just was so excited that the land looks more fertile. It looks, I'm gonna see what I get for this next year for a crop with, my sweet corn. I raise mostly sweet corn. And I'll be able to tell, you know, it's a visual thing that if you have a nice green long ear of corn that's really saleable, it's gonna make a difference. And I can tell right away. But I know in my mind what I saw of all the cover, the radishes and things that I grew there for a cover crop, I know it's going to help, and I feel really good about it. So, and I thank them for getting me involved in saying that, and I understand that because I've gotten involved, there's other farmers that are now getting on board, and they're not as afraid, you know, so.
It's like a huge watershed awakening.
Well, I will say this, the Oconomowoc watershed is also unique because there's been a lot of work done over the years. There was a watershed project up in Washington County that was actually conducted in the 80s already. So some of the work up there that was done at that time is benefiting the watershed today, in that some of those practices are still in place. But it's also a unique watershed in that there's 17 lakes. There's a lot of recreational activity going on. It's near Milwaukee metropolitan area, so there's a lot of corporate. And I can't emphasize enough how working upstream from the city is going to be such a long-term benefit to the city operations, because we're really a lake community. Our downtown is right next to Fowler Lake and right next to Lac La Belle. So to be mindful of the water quality of those lakes today and for the future is huge. And the only way to protect those lakes is to work upstream of those lakes. So our discharge of our treatment plant actually enters the river after those lakes. So we could be the worst polluter in the world and the lakes will not be affected. But what will affect them is what's going on upstream. So that's how the upstream component is so important to the city. So the added benefit is the extra horsepower that's being put into this for the protection of those lakes upstream, as far up as Freeze Lake near Holy Hill. We're working with some issues north of Freeze Lake in the headwaters of the Oconomowoc River. Now that's 40 miles away. So Freeze Lake is actually going to benefit from the work we're doing up in that area. It's a big picture program.
I think the team was smart when they started to engage farmers, because essentially you've got three classes of land along the watershed. Unmanaged wetland complex, which really we can't do a whole lot with, period, because it's not managed and we're not going to start. We have the rural farmland landscape, and we have the urban area. And there's some maps behind us that can give you an idea of the number of landowners that one would have to contact just around Lac La Belle. And then you consider you got 16 other lakes in the watershed. By reaching out to farmers, you have a managed landscape. And, you know, one of those farmers might control 50 acres in the watershed. They might control 200. There might be 2,000 acres in the watershed. And by getting to one person, you can potentially make a big difference very quickly versus working along the lakeshore. And having been out on a boat on some of the lakes, there are some challenging areas right along the lakes too in the urban areas. But getting to one person there might mean we're controlling runoff off a quarter acre or a half an acre or 2 acres. And so they need to go where they can make the most amount of progress quickly so that we can see a response. And if we see a response, hopefully we'll get more momentum behind us. If we don't see a response, we're all going to wonder what we did. Bill and I would have eaten a lot of great sweet corn and pizzas together, but we won't have solved a lot of the world's problems.
Tom Steinbach heads the Oconomowoc Watershed Protection Program. We also heard from two program participants, dairy farmer John Kepke and corn grower Bob Ingersoll. They spoke with Susan Benz.
If you're hungry to learn more about their efforts to reduce phosphorus and you are in the Oconomowoc neighborhood, you can stop in at the Ag Resource Conference going on today at the Oconomowoc Community Center.